May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is one of those songs that's included here in our text. I invite you to listen for the word of God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Almost every Sunday at the start of worship, I say something in the announcements about my belief, our belief, that each of us bears the image of God. This is an idea that comes from our scripture. It's from the book of Genesis, in the accounts of creation. Genesis describes how humankind is created in God's own image and likeness. We, as humans, all humans, have the divine imprint on us. And this piece of our Christian story, of our Christian and Jewish story, is a radical departure from the other religious traditions that elevated some people as being divine or bearing divine. But our scripture, this text shared by Jewish people and Christian people, has at the beginning of everything an affirmation that all humankind bears the image of God. This is such wild good news. It reminds us not only that we, each one of us, in all our wild diversity, in all our particularity and specialness, that each one of us possesses the image of the divine written onto, into, knit through ourselves. It also reminds us that every other person we encounter also bears the image of God. So that everyone we meet is not merely a stranger or neighbor or even enemy, but someone who bears the image of the divine. And this necessarily changes how we engage ourselves and others because we see God's presence all through everyone. This is one of the things I most love about the church. And I've said this before, so apologies if you're tired of my saying it. But one of the things I most treasure about the church is that we become a place for people to come together that would not be together except that we're here in church together. I mean, if it's not too horrifying, you can look around. Like, would this group of humans be assembled except that we're here today to be the church? And not just to be the church, to survive and tolerate each other, but to see God in each other. And we believe that we see God more clearly by looking at each other. This is wild, isn't it? We believe that even the people, now I'm not looking at anyone in particular when I say this, even the people who sometimes push our buttons and get under our skin bear the divine image and have something for us to learn and see as we look at them. Our practice of faith, then, is a practice of encounters, of relationship, because we turn not only to scriptures, but also to one another as we seek to know and understand more about who God is and who we are and how it is that we can live more faithfully to the reign of justice and love that God intends for the world. In this season of Advent, as we get closer to Christmas, the messages and reminders that are tucked into the music on the radio and the shows we watch on TV and the greetings of our neighbors and the cheeriness of lights we might pass in our neighborhood, they all remind us of these values that are held at the core of our faith, of hope and love and joy and peace. They all push us toward being the kinds of people that God calls us to be. Because as much as we all bear the divine image, we all have some space that we could work on to improve the clarity, perhaps, with which other people see divine love through us. We Methodists think that grace moves in this way. It's there for us always. It's always ours to receive. We're always included in God's love, but we have an invitation to make a choice to belong in it. And once we do, then we get to spend the rest of our lives letting ourselves be perfected in love, letting ourselves get better at practicing compassion and grace, at offering peace and hope. And that's one of the reasons that I come to church every Sunday. To get closer to being the kind of person that God calls me to be. But I digress. I wanted to talk about encounters this morning, about holy encounters. And the beginning point is this affirmation that not only does each of us bear the image of God, but each of us, each of those other people bears the image of God. Our scripture passages today were a continuation of this same text that tells of an encounter between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Elizabeth, as you know, was an older woman. She had not been able to have children until late in life, was able to bear John the Baptist. And this was a surprise and a delight to her. Mary, in contrast, was a young woman who was engaged but not married when she was visited by an angel, when her betrothed Joseph was visited by an angel, and they received the good news that she would bear a child who would be Jesus, the Son of God. The stories that we read today, that Rhonda and I read, the song that Mary sang, these all take place in a moment of encounter, a threshold moment, as Mary comes to Elizabeth's home and is greeted by her. Now, throughout the season of Advent, we've offered you a devotional, which I know some of you have been using. One of the writers of the reflections in the devotional is the Reverend Christine Hong. She tells a story about her family. Her parents were immigrants to the U.S. from Korea, and her parents like to say that whoever greets you at the airport sets the path that you'll follow as an immigrant. In that threshold moment of arrival, she contends, a new immigrant sets the course for who they'll be connected with and what their life will look like in this new place. Reverend Christine Hong's parents, who were immigrants from Korea, were greeted by the pastor of the Korean church where they would come to belong. And it was in that relationship, not only to that pastor, but to the congregation of immigrants, that they found their identity. They got connected with jobs that valued their skill at speaking Korean and English. They built relationships and community that would sustain them through their lives. But it started in that moment of meeting, an airport arrival. I suspect that you have threshold moments you could identify in your own life, a beginning of something or an encounter, a transition from one place to another, a beginning of a new course of study or a new job or a new relationship. In those moments of meeting, of greeting and encounter, we change a little. We set a new course for what will be in the time to come. And I marvel at the power of this threshold moment shared between Elizabeth and Mary, two women sharing in common the experience of being pregnant, but living different lives in this moment as Elizabeth, the elder, receives young Mary. There is a sort of a change, I think. In any case, soon after the encounter, Mary begins to sing this song that has been such a gift in our liturgical tradition. It's been set to music, it's become great art. We call it the Magnificat because it begins with the phrase, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And that word magnifies gives us the Latin Magnificat, gives us an invitation to sing along with Mary, who recognizes in this greeting and encounter, as Elizabeth receives her and honors her, understands and knows the power of what's happening in her and through her, Mary sings this song that magnifies God and proclaims a radical good news of transformation for the world, about the humble poor being lifted up and the rich and powerful being thrown out of their thrones. She sings a song of hope and deliverance, a song of transformation and power. And as you know, Mary sings this song as a person who, in the vocabulary of the world, is not particularly powerful. Born in a sort of off-the-beaten-path part of the ancient Near East as a Jew in the Roman society, Mary is, we believe, poor and dispossessed of power. A young woman lacking the kind of security that would even give her assurance of a comfortable life to come. And Mary doesn't have what we would call a comfortable life at any point of her journey. We know the story that will continue, the heartbreak she will endure. But she understands a powerful piece, that she is a part of God's work in the world, that she has the capacity to bear the Son of God, to bring to the world God in human form. In the incarnation, we, even 2,000 years later, dare to believe that our God is one who values our lives, who treasures humans in the reality of life, who cares about those who are in grief or hungry or alone or afraid, who elevates that our bodies matter, that matter matters, that this world and our communities and each one of us matter. It's a reflection back of this wild idea that each of us bears the image of God, that each of us is a precious and particular declaration of God here and now, that even if the last piece of our Bible was written, I'm not good at math, 1,800 years ago? Is that what you're saying? The most recent piece of scripture is so long ago, we still are lives that are writing the story of God for this moment in our communities, here in this world, as we do the work of living compassion, of seeing God's presence in our neighbors and strangers and our enemies, as we do the work of speaking for justice, of advocating for care for neighbors and strangers and enemies, for the planet itself, for a shared future that is not ours to own or control, but that is alive with the flourishing of the Word of God. This Christmas, we have in this threshold moment, as Mary and Elizabeth find one another, and I like to believe they inspire one another, or encourage, or give confidence to one another to dare to believe that this thing is possible, that we, even all these years later, could be the ones who bear the divine, who bring hope to our world, and forgiveness to cut off relationships, who offer mercy and humble service and persistent care. This is the invitation, not to just believe a thing that happened 2,000 years ago, but to let it seep into all of the corners of our lives here today, to let our world sing with the love that's possible through the grace of Jesus Christ, through God incarnate. I give thanks to God for this declaration of hope, and I pray that we would indeed see the divine image when we look in the mirror and when we look at every neighbor. May you see God here among us, an invitation to life and love, to justice and joy. May it be so. Amen.